I, James, founded and work for HPI, but do not represent them or any of their opinions.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 312 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is November the 7th, 2017. Every week, we definitively answer one question about the future of tech. To do this, we take into account many factors, including the companies involved, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and, of course, the technology they're developing. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and fighting the Hulk to the death to save Asgard is my brother, James Furlough.
Oh my gosh, we tried so hard to see it, and we could not line up a babysitter. Because the movie's just long enough where you're like, this is a 3-hour endeavor.
And, yes, it is.
And that's like excluding driving and anything else. And we're like, it's honestly, it's a 3.5 to 4-hour endeavor. And no one wants to watch our kids that long. So we even were like, there's a, what was it? It was like a 9:30 or no, it was like an 8:30 show. And you start doing the math and you're like, wow, we're asking someone to hang out at our house until midnight. And
yep,
all our friends are old. It's tough. But I want to see it. I bet it's amazing. Wow. I haven't heard or read anything about it, but I know it's I want to see it. Did you see it?
It's definitely the best comedy that the MCU has put out so far.
Dang, that's saying something because I liked Ant-Man.
Yeah, and this one, well, the director,
does that include Guardians of the Galaxy too?
The director, Takeo Waititi, he's a dude who's like, he's famous for like weird comedies.
Okay.
Specifically, he's written quite a few of the Flight of the Conchord episodes. That's his thing.
Guaranteed and to be good.
Oh yeah. He's
maybe that's where I heard it from. Okay, so inside here, I've got this movie quote, if you know what I'm talking about, like text. Oh. Comment, do whatever you need to do. I've got like this movie line quote that's been rattling around in my head and I cannot remember what it says or where it's from. And it's just killing me. So I would tell you, it's like something to do with like, it's like a three part where it's like, we made a plan, we did this, and now we're doing that. And which I realize it probably has nothing to do with that. And it's not helpful.
Every time you say it, it's like, well, and the best part is I'm starting to think that what you have wrong and what the reason why you can't get it to come together is the first part. But every time you try to explain it, the first part's the same. The other two parts are completely
totally different. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's where I'm at. And I'm like, oh, Flight of the Conchords. And it came from a comedy. I know that. So I'm like, yeah. Anyways. I have been distracted all week by this thing.
Those earworms are the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you saw it.
I did. You liked it. I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Nice. My wife and I later tonight will be watching Sharknado. That's what we'll be catching up on. It's apparently on Netflix, so we're doing it.
That's pretty good stuff. If I could make a recommendation, I would say Stranger Things is pretty good too. Season.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It gets strange. There are very few pieces of media on that I've ever watched that gets me really, really excited for a middle school girl to show up. This is like the only one where I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so cool. But they've done a good job with it. So. Anyways, yeah,
let's get into it. So these last couple of weeks, there's been a few articles about different tech companies and what I would call their secondary products. So maybe not the main thing they're making their money off of, but something they would like to maybe someday make money off of, or they're making a lot less money off of. And there was another article too that was talking about the end of the startup era. So it kind of got me thinking. A couple thoughts. The first one was like, so what happens when these founders or leaders kind of get bored and they decide they want to go do something else? And it also led to kind of a bigger question of like, what's better, a starving artist or a fat artist? And so let me give you a couple examples to concretely tell you what I'm talking about here of companies that have created these secondary products. And there were a couple of them recently in the news. The fun one, because we love to beat up on them, was Snap. They sold those spectacles, right? We've made plenty of fun of them for calling themselves a camera company, even though they're a social media company. And they should call themselves a technology company, but they're like, we're...
This is a podcast.
And so most of you can't see me shaking my head in frustration at that company.
But yeah, yeah.
Shaking my head.
Kill me. And so it turns out that it's been a total flop. They've got hundreds of thousands of them in storage. They haven't sold very well at all. It turns out they're not a camera company. Right. And that was their secondary product, kind of an issue. Another recent one was a story about Apple, where apparently they're trying to bet $1 billion, maybe even more, on original content for their platform. So they came out with Planet of the Apps, and which was horrible, by the way.
How much of that did you watch?
I did not make it through the first episode.
We didn't turn it into a drinking game, but we definitely turned it into a bit of that sort of a thing where we would just sit there and pause it and comment on how awful it was. So we got through a couple of episodes because that was kind of fun.
But it was so bad. Oh, from what I understand, like they cut the editing short. Like they were supposed to do some, they like, for whatever reason, the launch window they picked had to do with WWDC.
Right.
Not when the show was done. And right. You're like, whoops.
Which is really obvious because the first guy on the show is a dude who's trying to pitch an AR kit web or framework. That day they announced the AR frame kit and like or framework, and you're like, there's investors on the show that you can see are trying not to say what they already knew, which was Apple's about to release this. We can't.
Yeah,
invest.
It's a bad show. I mean, just
so annoying.
Bad.
Just bad.
Top to bad.
The bottom.
Bad.
What are they trying to do?
Yeah. The other one was Carpool Karaoke is another one of theirs with James Corden, which the concept was funny and interesting, but they ended up cutting out all sorts of stuff from it because Apple wants it to be family friendly.
Right.
And they got rid of a bunch of funny scenes and, you know, just, it's a mess. But apparently Apple wants to do this. And I don't think it's Cook who's pulling the strings other than he's giving permission. This is probably Eddie Q, that guy.
Eddie Q is at the heart of so many irritating things that happen at Apple.
Yeah. So, but again, it's like they're going to spend $1 billion on this secondary, which it's not even a secondary thing for them. You know, this thing that they shouldn't be focusing on. Just kind of a problem. And then there's other companies out there. You know, think about like Facebook, right? Where Zuckerberg's like, I think VR is going to be a thing. Let's go buy Oculus. And we're going to have a hilarious link to a video of this grandma who was putting on an Oculus for the first time.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's standing on the edge of a really tall building and freaking out. it's pretty fun. And then they do the one where it's the hallway with the T-Rex and she just like, she loses it. It's pretty funny. So it's good. So we'll have that link on the show notes there. But then you get other people like Jeff Bezos of Amazon, where he buys Whole Foods and the Washington Post and starts up Blue Origin. And it's like, all right, he's doing these other things. Don't necessarily concretely, totally 100% align with Amazon, but you know, they're there. And Whole Foods probably arguably is the closest to it. But you know, they're all kind of different. You have other stuff where it's like Twitter kind of got into this whole video periscoping thing, which again, they kind of like, they justified it. A famous guy, right? Elon Musk, who decided to cash out of PayPal and then start Tesla, SolarCity, SpaceX, The Boring Company. I think I'm missing a couple there. And then my absolute favorite one is you get someone like a Sergey Brin of Google who goes, you know what? Search is solved. I'm bored. Time to move on. We're going to create a whole new company to hold a whole bunch of companies, right? We're talking about cars. We're talking about glasses. We're talking about balloons. Medical equipment, you know, whatever, right? He clearly couldn't care less about search at this point.
Yes.
And even Paige is probably like, I like the money, but you know, that's about all. And so clearly they've moved on and we've got a cool article of someone who rode in a Waymo car who's like, yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, it just kind of works. And so there's all these examples of companies where it's like the leader or the founder moves on. Go ahead.
So I was going to say there's this other, not to mention, you glossed over this one, but Twitter is a Jack Dorsey company, the current CEO and founder, co-founder.
Yeah.
But he's also co-founded Square, the very famous, like, you know, which is a similar That's quite a bit different than Twitter.
And a little bit. Yeah.
He did that after Twitter, he got bored. He did something else. I think is he the CEO of both right now?
He is. Yes. Yes, he is.
That explains something about the current state of both companies.
Yeah. Well, Twitter had a recent pop because they think they might actually be profitable next quarter.
What? Amazing.
I know. Crazy. So it kind of gets back to this idea of like, and it's even hard to articulate this idea other than we're noticing this trend that you have all these huge companies who are now like, you know what, let's go do that. Let's go do this. And so you're getting a bunch of startups who now are getting sucked up, right? TBH announced that Facebook had bought them. Somebody announced it. They probably both did. And so it's kind of like, all right, is that the goal now to get bought? Or can you even compete against these big companies? Because the founders get bored and now they've got all this capital to go after it. And I don't know, in some cases it seems like with Facebook, you get this idea of like, they're like, well, no, we're trying to make sure that we still have a viable company 20 years from now. It also seems like a huge excuse. Verzuck's like, no, I've like sharing and social's solved and I'm moving on to the next cool thing. And that seems like VR and I want to be a player and that sounds cool. So we're going to buy a company and then we're going to go throw gobs of resources at it to make it happen. I don't know. It feels that way. And clearly you get that idea with Google too, where it's like, oh, there's interesting problems that we would like to go solve. Sure. Defending share, whatever, or search, or is what am I trying to say? Search may not be around forever. We want to have a revenue stream. So we better come up with these new company ideas. Like that's what they tell you. That's what you're supposed to tell investors. Yeah. But you also get the sense, like at least with Sergey Brin, he's like, I don't care if they make money. Like, I just want to build these things, yeah. Whatever. You know, quit annoying me with the how do you make money question.
Right, yeah. Which is honestly the reason why a lot of these things got broke out of Google, because now they can say, look, Google makes money. Stop asking me about these other companies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what we're doing here. Yeah, but we own stock in Alphabet.
Yeah, it's interesting. And so there's this thing. So I want to talk a little bit more, and I want to focus this in on, you know, is it better to be a starving artist to make some of these changes, or is it okay, like for these fat artists to go off and say, let's go create something new and different, or should they continue to focus, or maybe we'll even say, should they do something like a Musk, where it's like, well, we're going to create discrete separate things, or obviously Musk and Google will create these discrete separate things, or is it more like a Facebook where it's like, ah, no, we're all part of the same team now. Things like that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first,
so this episode of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast is brought to you by Radio Waves.
Not
really, because we're not actually being broadcast over the radio, but this couldn't be possible without Radio Waves, because that set the foundation for radio shows, which set the foundation for podcasts. And really and truly, if you've downloaded it over Wi-Fi, boom, you've got it. And even further, like, radio waves are fundamental to like the electromagnetic spectrum, which allows electrons to be bound together to protons. And it's sort of all part and parcel to the same thing. So yeah, pretty much the force carrying particle.
Question for spectrum. You.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Do you actually listen to the radio anymore? It's okay. I don't.
Sometimes, on very rare occasions, I won't listen to my podcast. Apple Music isn't pleasing me. I'll just turn on the radio to be like, give me whatever is like, just bubblegum pop, whatever's popular right now. And then I'll listen to it and think, no, you know what? I'm going back to the podcast.
Silence is better than this, especially when commercials start to come on.
Oh my gosh. Commercials are so bad. Which makes me
It's so ironic.
Oh man.
That's the worst. I know. There's one I will try to listen to it because I think they have good music, and it's like I always know when the commercial's coming because the DJ comes on and does his stick, and you're like, ah, commercial, here it comes. I'm just gonna get out of it. But
yeah.
But
you know,
that's
I will say the when there's a couple of podcasts that I listen to where they don't do canned commercials. They actually do.
Yeah.
Every time they take a minute or two and they just sort of like ad lib the what they're saying about the commercials, I'll listen to those like and appreciate it and learn about things like Harry's shavers razors, not shavers, you know, and stuff like that. You know, like it sticks, it works. I think that's the key to making decent ads, which is why we do it this our way. We don't get paid for this stuff. Obviously, radio waves
clearly
does not have much money in and of itself, but besides point. So my thoughts on this whole thing of starving artists versus fat artists. Number one, artist ship. There's no such thing as a starving artist. I think that's completely false. but I do think I think that there's a gem of wisdom in that. In that a lot of these guys, they succeeded for some reason. They started starving artists. They started with an idea. They didn't have a lot of funding. They had to get funding. They had to get investors. They had to do something to get to where they are in order to ship a product. And what they've proved is they've got whatever that core spark is to get in the tenacity and the courage to do that same thing. The real question becomes, do they actually have a persisting vision, or did they have one good idea and the tenacity to make it work?
We've got the tenacity. Let's make it work. I don't know. Maybe that's it. That's definitely not.
Yeah.
That's definitely not the quote.
so don't close. Worry. But I get guys like,
yeah, they got something there, right? They've proven they can do it once. And did they get, was it kind of a luck thing? They succeeded despite them, or did they have that other intangible where it's probably tangible where it was no, because they, because of who they are, because they're good at making systems, because they have this overwhelming vision, you know, it works. And I think where you're headed with this is Musk. You kind of get the sense like PayPal is actually opportunistic for him. You know, they saw a market need. He got in on a good team, made it happen. He didn't really care.
Right.
And I think that's true. But now when you look at all of his other things that he's done now, they are under a singular vision umbrella.
Yeah. They really are. Even though they're separate companies, they're all born out of the same core question. Core, you know, I've described it before as an existential angst about the future of humanity.
Yeah,
trying to save humanity, and so that's what these things are born out of. What he sees as the biggest threats, he's going to try to build companies that innovate beyond those threats. And does it in a profitable way, which is interesting. Now, whether you agree with him or not, or you think that's high-minded, whatever, but ultimately, that is the vision. Whereas I think guys like Evan Spiegel of Snapchat fame, I still think that he's a one-trick pony. Like, he's obviously a somewhat talented dude. I think that he's got the tenacity to see the growing company, but I don't think that he's got this broader vision that sees bigger problems and fights for solutions to them. I think he's got a very narrow vision. And he happened to have stumbled upon a really brilliant solution to an interesting problem at the right moment, you know, and which was the ephemeral message idea, the message that self-deletes.
Yeah.
Whereas Zuckerberg's interesting.
Well, you know what? There's a part of me too, where like, you know how that you found out at one time that they weren't actually deleting them.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that points to it wasn't this bigger privacy vision that they had.
No,
that actually wasn't it. It was something different than that, which again makes, you know, we will bash on him till they finally close their doors, which I believe will happen. But they, I can't help it. And I think that's one more thing that points to it, because had that actually been important, like they wouldn't have had that problem.
Yeah. And I would say Zuckerberg, you know, I would say the Oculus thing for Zuckerberg is he wants this last FA conference where they did all the we didn't talk about it. We probably should have, but all of their VR stuff that they came out with, it was all so focused around this idea of how do we actually make it social? Like, we've got this great opportunity for social in VR. I think that was the first time where it became very clear that I, if you remember correctly, I predicted the year that Facebook got into hardware. I told you, like, I predicted earlier, like at the Christmas that year, I predicted they'd get into hardware and it wouldn't be a phone. and they bought Oculus that year. And at the, it just felt like they were wanted to touch. Thank you, I appreciate it. But it felt like they wanted something like that. But
yeah,
I think I was wrong in that. The reason why I didn't predict VR is because I didn't understand that. Like, I don't think Zuckerberg feels like he's done with social. I think he just is like, it's going to take it too long to get to where I want it to go next. And so we'll build a hardware. We'll try to build standards. We'll try to kickstart this whole thing. We'll just dump money into hopefully accelerating the next step of what we want this platform to be, because it won't get there fast enough on its own.
Which I think is an interesting point. Something I was thinking about too, where there's like this danger zone for companies where, you know, if you're too small, it's like focus on your product. You got to ship your product. Like you were talking about, you got to, do this one thing and you got to execute it perfectly and you got to do it really well. And then you have companies on the other end of the spectrum, which they're big. And, you know, and I put Facebook into this section where it's like, yeah, we got billions of dollars and we got thousands of employees who we can throw out this problem. And he can make statements like that, which is, all right, there's more to do in social. There's this virtual connectedness we can do. I think it's going too slow. I'm going to throw money at this and make it happen. And we're going to own it.
I think they're going to waste a lot of money on the hardware end of it without a lot of success. But I think that Zuckerberg is emotionally, I don't know if his investors are, but I think he's emotionally accepting the fact that, oh yeah, the goal isn't to make money here. The goal on the hardware, the goal is to make a better social experience.
We got to have the hardware. Yeah. So we're going to make it but we want to do the software part. Yeah, totally. And you get that similar sense like with Google too, where there's some interesting problems out there in the world. We may or may not make money. We don't care. We're going to try to go solve those problems and we can afford to do it. And we can have flops like Google Glass and it doesn't kill the company. You know, sure it's embarrassing, but you know, from a P&L standpoint, no one notices.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
They
don't want to build cars. They don't want to build a car sharing service. They want to build an artificial intelligence that can drive a car. That's what they want to build, because that's where they see a broader problem that they can fix. I would say this. I think that Apple right now is like, their whole problem is that they with the media stuff. It's the fact that
I don't know what's going on with the media stuff.
I think it's Eddie Q, man. I think that there's like, he just doesn't have that, like, he doesn't have Steve Jobs. He just doesn't. That's like so clearly what he needs. Like the brilliance, like, because you can see where they're coming from, where they're sitting there and say, what did Steve Jobs build when he built the media thing? He built Pixar, which was this brilliant, like,
dude, it's almost you're being too nice. It's like Eddie's crazy. Everybody knows it, but he's not asking for so much money that they can say no. Cook is literally like, you know what? Whatever, man. Just do your thing and stay out of the hallways.
Fine. Well, what I was gonna say,
and you could see like Phil Schiller, just every time Eddie Q is in the meeting and starts talking, Schiller just like, he just puts his head on his forehead and just kind of shakes his head slowly. Just goes, no, this is the dumbest thing ever. And Cook just goes, just don't embarrass us. So no nudity, swearing, like just keep it clean.
I don't know. I would say I would quibble, because I would say this. If Steve Jobs was undeniably into very family friendly media, like he was the one who was clearly in on the meeting when they decided that, hey, we don't want any porn in the App Store, which I think was a really smart move for Apple. But that was clearly a marketing thing. We want our App Store to be a place where kids can go and experience and they're safe there. Parents are okay handing the phone to them, because if they go to the App Store, they're not going to find any porn on the App Store. Apple is family friendly. Pixar was family friendly, but the problem is that they don't seem to be showing that they understand that there's a difference between impactful and family friend, or that there can you can create something that is family friendly and incredibly engaging and impactful. They haven't shown that they know that that's the same thing. They seem to think that they have to
Avatar.
Wonderful. Yeah, exactly. Avatar: The Last Airbender, not the movies.
Yes. The cartoons.
Yes. But look at any Pixar movie. I mean, like, you look at WALL-E, very family-friendly, incredibly impactful. You know, whereas it doesn't have to be toothless and unenjoyable in order to be family-friendly. They don't understand why everything they've created so far has been that, though. It's just a...
Well, it's like they haven't committed to it. Like, that's the problem. Yeah. And you wonder if, and I think I put Snap, they're in that danger zone where they're not teensy anymore, but they're also not so big that they can just go do whatever they want. That actually distracts them from what they're doing. And it was like, well, we can't fully commit behind this, but we think it's an interesting thing. We're going to put our toes in the water, but we're going to spend way more than we probably should because we can. And as a result, you're like, oh gosh, what are you guys doing? And it just looks bad. And I think they also, I don't know, I think there's a thing out there too where they all kind of look at Microsoft and they go, we don't want to be that. You know, where, you know, obviously Microsoft is, you know, they're back today and they're doing cool things, but like, dude, just go back like what, 5 years?
Oh yeah.
And we're all maybe not even that far back. Go back 3 years, right? Well, Ballmer was still in charge and you're just like, man, I don't know if Microsoft's still going to be around. I mean, they probably will because we have to buy their stuff today.
Yeah.
But man, I don't know if we're going to have to buy their stuff in 10 years. And, you know, and they kept trying to do stuff where you're like, oh, it's just not working. And part of that, for whatever, Ballmer didn't have that big why, the big vision that was driving it.
I would say that is such a big part of this, is it's that idea of a vision, of understanding what your core vision is. What are the problems that you're good at
solving? It's not cameras.
Yeah, exactly. What problems are you good at solving? And then focus on that.
I do appreciate that about problems. Yeah, which is what I appreciate about Google, right? They kind of have said, hey, we're good at taking a whole lot of data and synthesizing it down and surfacing the most important things. Let's do that in other areas.
Yeah.
And they've taken that to machine learning. And I think, you know, that has been expressed in a bunch of different ways, like with the cars, the glasses, the balloons, things like that. And, you know, and you could see like they've got this idea of, we want to put order into the world and we want to understand it. And I think it's cool. And it makes sense. We've talked about Musk. He's clearly has that vision. I think when it comes to like the media stuff, Apple doesn't have that vision.
No.
And that's part of what we're seeing, where it's just like, I don't know.
We're talking about it with their
Apple TV. You're like, what's your vision for this? Are you a home thing? Like, what are you? Even their speaker that they're going to come out with next month. I'm like, I don't get it.
I would say this. I think it is very telling that what we know about the media that Apple is going to make, the description that they said is that it will be family friendly. But when Steve Jobs, you know, took over Pixar, what did he tell? Oh, what's his name?
John Lasseter.
What did he tell John Lasseter? He didn't tell John Lasseter, make it family friendly. He said, make it great. There's nobody at Apple saying, make it great. That's right. That's not the pinnacle of what they're trying to do. Where they're not trying to make great TV that happens to be family friendly. They're making family friendly TV. You know, making sitcoms. I'm expecting like an entire thing of sitcoms, just the most banal sitcoms that you can. Oh my gosh, I can't. I hope there's somebody there that's just like, look, Eddie Q, just go take a nap. We'll take care of it. We know what we're doing. We're the adults in the room. I hope they have a John Lasseter that they've secretly employed.
No,
they haven't told anybody about.
Doubt it.
I know.
Doubt it.
I completely agree.
Well, any final thoughts?
I don't know. I think it's have a vision, man. Have a vision and understand what the core problems are you can solve. And I think that even if you get pretty far outside of what people think is your core competency, you've got the resources, you can take the risk, and that's exciting. When you do things that clearly don't show you understand what your core idea is, all you're doing is wasting money. And maybe that's fine because you got money to waste. But understanding your core vision and your core problems that you know how to solve is important to their success.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that that's paramount, and it'll be interesting to see where some of these companies go. If Facebook's able to keep on that social route, obviously it's something they kind of understand, and I think it'll be good. It'll be interesting with the latest news about Tesla having to lay off people, and there's some execution strategy there. Clearly, Musk is stretched a little thin at the moment, so there's also something to be said about focus. But I think in the end, it'll come out okay. I'm excited to see where Google, Alphabet take some of their stuff in a few years here. But I'm with you, man. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting. So I think you could be a fat artist as long as you've got that compelling vision. If you're just kind of, you know, if you don't have a vision, just get out. Let someone else do it. Exactly. And I think that, you know, that was a great thing about Bill Gates. I think he handed it off to the wrong person, but it was this idea of like, he was all about getting a desktop on every desk. And then he finally went, you know what? That's checkbox.
And
he didn't necessarily go like, oh man, and here's the next step I want to take it. Yeah. He was like, no, I achieved my dream. Now I'm going to go solve polio or whatever he's something. Exactly. And
murder every mosquito.
Yes. And which is kind of cool. And, you know, and yeah. I can appreciate that. Cool. So,
listener question. So what we'd like to know is, did we miss any, like, are there any companies out there that you guys know of that took a, especially remind us of any of the bad stories where a company decided to put something on that was a disaster, that was clearly outside of their core competencies. Those are always fun to the Schadenfreude of watching a company that was successful fail.
Definitely.
Let us know.
Cool. So with that, thank you everybody for joining us. We really do appreciate it. You can check out all the links, including that hilarious grandma video on furloughbros.com/312. That's 312. And we'd like to specifically thank Joseph Flaherty of TechCrunch for kicking off this discussion. And then for Alex Heath of Business Insider for their coverage of Snap, and also Lucas Shaw for making fun of Apple and their TV shows. And a couple other people like Kate Conger, who's talking about Waymo. And then I actually don't know who shot that Dig video, but thanks Dig for posting the video. So finally, this podcast is sponsored by listeners just like you and Radio Waves. Duck! And with that, I am James Furlow, and my Norse brother of thunder is Matthew Furlow, and so we will talk next time. Thank you.